Our scripture today is from the book of Mark, chapter 10, verse 46 to 52. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for this chance to hear your word, to surrender our minds and our hearts to you. We ask you that they're open to receive this glorious gift. We ask you, Lord, that we are challenged, that we are encouraged. We pray that as we read your word, that we see glimpses of you. We also pray for your mercy, that on the expounding of the word, that your light may shine through that also, and that it may be used for your glory and yours alone. Teach us as you want us to learn, that we may be better servants of you, always and always. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 10, verse 46 to 52. They came to Jericho. As he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho, Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called to the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Question for you. How many of you have heard the story of blind Bartimaeus before? Just kind of anyone here, blind Bartimaeus? You want to hear that phrase, blind Bartimaeus? I don't know. For some reason, I just remember blind Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus just happens to be one of the few people that Jesus have healed that we have a name for. We hear him about healing the ten people of leprosy. We don't know their names. We hear about the man who was at the well. We don't know his name. We hear about the man who was lowered through the roof. We don't know his name. A lot of these healings don't have names, but this one does. Bartimaeus and blind begging Bartimaeus. I mean, it just rolls off the tongue. For some reason, it just sticks in the mind. This scripture for me, and I guess maybe I say this a lot, invites imagination. Trying to figure out the context, what his life is like through the clues that we have in Scripture and the things that we know about the society at the time. In terms of help and care for those who have a disability or limitation of some sort, in this culture, they didn't have much. Many people who had disabilities and limitations could not be a full member of society. They didn't change the way that work was done or help someone to do the work that other people did based upon the things they have. So blind Bartimaeus couldn't really be a part of society. His part of society was as a beggar. His life probably was made up of getting up in the morning, someone coming to help him, and leading him to the street corner that would be his job for the day. He would sit down on the street corner, and the rest of his day would be spent asking for money. That money would be used to take care of him, to help to feed him, to clothe him, to give him shelter. That's how he worked. And the people walking to and fro, some would ignore him, some would see him, others would help him, throwing him a few coins, putting it into his cup or box or whatever it is that he had. Blind Bartimaeus would see none of this, of course. He would just feel the people walk by. He would listen to the conversations. Not being able to see, he used his ears intently to listen. And Jesus was on the mouth and lips of so many people during that time. I would imagine that if you wanted information, Bartimaeus would be a good person to go to, but most people just overlooked him. And so as Jesus came through the town of Jericho, he heard the murmurings, Jesus is Jesus, and he knows the stories of Jesus, because everyone knows the stories of Jesus. Jesus is a very strong, a very powerful, and a very divisive person in that day and age. You hear about his teachings and his healings, his miracles, his powers. You loved him for standing up to the injustices of the world. You hated him for changing the structures or challenging the structures of the church of that time. Very few people had a neutral opinion of him. You hated him or you loved him. Bartimaeus has heard the stories of Jesus. And we know he's heard the stories of Jesus because as soon as he heard Jesus, he said, Son of David, have mercy on me. This wouldn't be a quiet place to begin with. We're outside, crowds around Jesus, everyone's talking and murmuring, trying to hear what Jesus has to say. He's trying to leave Jericho, and Bartimaeus, who's sitting there on the corner, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He starts to yell and get louder and louder. So loud, in fact, that in verse 48, many sternly ordered him, be quiet. Who's Bartimaeus after all? A blind beggar. He doesn't have much to offer. He doesn't have anything to give. He's just someone that the town takes care of. He's that guy on the street. His value is minimal. Be quiet, Bartimaeus. Speak when you're spoken to. You're bothering us. We can't hear what Jesus has to say because you're screaming, shush. You gotta love Bartimaeus' moxie, though. He doesn't listen. He sees Jesus as the answer. Jesus is what he needs in his life. He yells all the louder. The voices that are intimidating him and discouraging him and belittling him don't deter him. He yells out louder, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And louder, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And louder, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. I love the Bible because the Bible really taps into real life kind of stuff. There's an old saying about the squeaky wheel gets the grease. You know that saying? Do you know what that saying means? You turn your attention to that person that's bothering you. That you can't drown out the noise, so you have to deal with it. There's another scripture about that. There was a widow who had an injustice done to her, and she went to the judge in order to get that justice resolved. And the judge ignored her day after day after day after day after day. Until finally he said, you know, I don't care that if this woman gets what she deserves or not, I just want her to stop bothering me. And so finally ruled in her favor. That's in the Bible. Now, in everyday life, we have this dog in my house. His name is Oscar. He barks and barks and barks and barks and barks. And he only barks, well, that's not true, he barks all the time. But he especially barks when you try talking to someone. It's so funny. You talk to someone, and he starts barking. You tell him to stop, he stops. And then you wait a few minutes to see if he barks again. And then when he does it, you start talking to someone, and he barks. You have to pay attention to him because he won't let you do otherwise. There's another illustration that shows this. Maybe some of you have seen this before.
Lewis! Mom! Mommy! Mama! Ma! Mom! Mommy! Mama!
What?
Hi.
Bartimaeus made himself a little like that. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. And finally, even though the crowd is annoyed with him, Jesus says, bring him here. You know, what is it? And the crowd, their response to Jesus, or to Jesus calling blind Bartimaeus, is funny. It says, take heart, get up, he is calling you. You know, that sounds happy, but in my mind, it's very still condescending. It's kind of like, oh, finally Jesus answered him. He can be quiet now. You know, be happy. You know, like, don't yell anymore. He's calling you. Go and see him. And so he is happy, and he gets up and he bounds his way to Jesus, and Jesus asks him, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus asks this a lot. An open-ended question. He never assumes what the person wants, not often anyway. He allows the person to bring the request to him. He doesn't say, oh, I see you're blind, you must want to see. No, he asks the person, what is it that you want? In doing this, he engages the person on a personal level. He relates to them. He allows them to have participation in this moment. And the man says, my teacher, let me see again. Jesus' response to him, because the man thought that only Jesus had this answer, only Jesus could do this. And so Jesus says, go, your faith has made you well. When Jesus had called the man, and the people said, take heart, Jesus is calling you, go. You know, they're, in my mind, again, a little annoyed, go. Has anyone been annoyed with you, or you annoyed with anyone, and you heard the word go? What does that usually mean? Get out of here. Go away. Don't be here anymore. I love the summer days when my kids were younger, and they were tearing up the house. Get outside. I heard that a lot growing up. Go play outside. You know, which is not to say, go enjoy this beautiful weather. It is to say, get away from me. I understood that, and I understand that as parents. And so the people in the crowd, when Jesus called them, he said, good, go. You know, stop yelling, stop being annoying, go and see what Jesus wants from you, what Jesus can do for you. But when Jesus healed him, Jesus said, go. The beautiful thing about Jesus' go is that it comes from a place of love. And when Jesus said, go, it was, your limits have been taken away. Your freedom is given to you. You can now be a part of this society in a way that you never could before. You can go and do whatever you want. The world is your oyster. The horizon is open for you. Christ gave this man freedom to be a part of a society that did not want him anymore, and now, because he can see, does. Jesus said, go. I love this sort of story here, this scripture that we have, because we have infirmities in our lives. They can't always be seen. Sometimes they're invisible, silent. We experience and we know how they hurt us and how they keep us down. And we cry out to God again and again and again, and sometimes we don't hear anything, but Christ will answer. Will help us to get through whatever it is, a physical, a mental, emotional infirmity or limitation. And will help us to be able to break through that wall and say, go. Be able to do those things I call you to do, to be a part of society and culture in a way that you want to. I didn't think you would be able to. The man's response, though, is precious. Jesus says, do whatever you want. Go. You are free to be a part of this world in ways that you've only been able to imagine thus far. And where did the man go? He followed Jesus. He could go anywhere. And he decided to walk behind Christ. I love this because it can be the story of the church. When I get to stand here and look out at the church here and at Manor and anywhere else I am, I don't ever see perfection. I don't ever see everyone that's got it, that understands exactly what's going on. I see people who are loved by Christ with our own baggage, with our own issues, with our own fears, with our own doubts. And Christ inviting us into himself and telling us then to go. To go into the world, to share the love that we've experienced. And I pray that with that freedom that Christ gives us, that as a church, we then follow Christ to share that love with all those whom we encounter, that they too might do the same. It's a wonderful gift that we can share, that has been shared with us first. As we go into the world, sharing church with all those whom we encounter, we can have hope and peace because of this. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of this glory, of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power both now and forever. Amen and amen. Go in peace.